Okay, so as you've seen, as you've heard, as you've sung, it's the season of Advent. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to prepare ourselves for Christmas. Advent has four themes: peace, hope, love, and joy. And each week we're going to be lighting a candle and reflecting on that theme. As today we said, we're going to be thinking about this subject of good news for the poor, but I think we really need to hear this subject because it seems that everywhere we turn today, we hear bad news. I don't want to bring this up again, but every time we turn on our TVs, it seems this is the first thing on the news, and people seem to be fed up, they seem to be confused. Very, very strong opinions are being expressed at the moment on all kinds of sides. And generally, I think we're hearing a sense of people just don't know what to expect anymore. They don't know what's going to happen, not only just this week in the House of Commons, but in the future. And for most people, this is bad news. Sometimes even people who voted for this, they don't know what's going to happen. We've been praying this morning for the Middle East. Andy and Aileen were praying for the Middle East and the country of Syria. It seems every year that we go by, we continue to pray for Syria. And how ironic, it isn't intending this morning, but there's a Christmas star in the middle of the streets of Aleppo with two fathers carrying little babies through this ravaged, destroyed, beautiful country and city. Let's continue to pray for that. But again, every year we keep praying, but we hear more bad news. There's a couple of people that seem to be featured very much in the news, and every time we see these two faces and hear these two people, it's bad news. Some of the things they say, some of the threats that they make, and again, people wish that they would keep their mouths shut. And then finally this. You think, well, what on earth is that? Well, most of you may not have seen this, but I know some of you have felt this. This is a flu virus. Yes, this is what gets inside us and makes our noses run and our throats get sore and our chest feel heavy and our mouths cough and our eyes weep. It's this little fella right here. Bad news this time of year. So because of all these things and so many more, we want some good news. Our world needs good news like never, ever before. And isn't it time that we shared some good news? I think it is. And so over the month of December, we want to share some good news with obviously all of you who come to our church. We want to carry this good news with us and take it out into the streets of Glasgow this season. We're going to base our whole series for Advent on these verses that were read to us this morning, because they focus on four different groups of people, four different needs in our world that we can bring good news to. This morning, we're going to think about the first one. The Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah says, is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And we'll think about that in just a moment. What does that mean to bring good news to the poor? What did it mean for Isaiah, for the Lord to do that? He broke it down into three different areas of people's lives. The brokenhearted, to bind up the brokenhearted. We're going to think about that next week. What does it mean to bind up people's broken hearts? We're going to be having Elaine Duncan, the leader of the Bible Society in Scotland, coming with us. Elaine's been here several times before. Great speaker, very inspiring. A lady who travels to the Middle East and all over the world representing the Bible Society of Scotland. And so we're excited for that. To proclaim freedom for the captors. What does it mean to set people free? We're going to be thinking about that in a couple of weeks' time, of bringing freedom to people. Not just people who are incarcerated, but people who are suffering from addictions, people who are struggling with all kinds of other bondage in their lives. And how do we help people to be set free and bring good news to people who want freedom? To release the prisoners from darkness. This time of year is a time of light. We light candles. We put lights outside our houses and our buildings. We shine light this time of year, a time of darkness. And how does Jesus bring light into people's darkness? We'll think about that just before Christmas. And all of this together is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So that's what we're going to be looking at for these next 4 weeks. Good news for people who are poor, for people who are brokenhearted, for people who are in captivity, and for people who are blind and need to see. We want to bring the good news of Jesus into these situations over the next 4 weeks. And so, good news for the poor this morning. God has a heart for the poor. This goes the whole way through the Bible. When we look into the Old Testament at the beginning of the story of Israel, the people of Israel, we see this message of good news for the poor at the very beginning of their existence. And no more so than in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the people of God are in captivity, they're in poverty, their hearts are broken, they're in darkness, they're living in Egypt, far away from their land, no hope. They're treated as slaves, they're oppressed, they're downbeaten, and they don't know what's going to happen in their lives for the future. And these words are recorded in Exodus chapter 3, where the Lord said to Moses, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them." These verses are filled with the sense of what God thinks for people who are poor. Look at it again as I've underlined these words. And this is very important because we can forget, even as Christians, we can forget this time of year that God is concerned for people. God is concerned for people who are struggling, people who are trapped in poverty and under oppression, whose hearts are broken. We have to remember that that's what this season is about. That's why we light these candles. That's why we celebrate Advent. That's why Jesus came into the world. And we'll think about that at the end of our service. I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned, I have come down, I have seen the way they are being oppressed. If people could only catch some of that, if people that we meet, maybe in our streets, in our workplace, people who come to our food bank, in our Care and Share ministry, people that we know of, if people could catch some of that, that there's a God in heaven who sees them. There's a God in heaven who hears them crying. There's a God in heaven who's concerned about them. A God in heaven who has come down to their situation, to their need, to their level. A God in heaven who sees the way they are being oppressed. If only people could catch this. And this is really the message of the whole Bible, that there is a God in heaven who's concerned for the poor and the oppressed, the downtrodden, the people who are crying out for help. But those people who are crying, they don't know sometimes that God's interested in them. How can they find God in that situation? Where is God in those situations? In this passage, Exodus chapter 3, God doesn't just say these words, but he says them to a man. And his name is Moses. And he says to him, "Moses, I am concerned, so now I'm sending you to go and tell them. I'm sending you to go and show them. I'm sending you as my representative." And Moses says, "No, no thanks. I don't want to go. Okay, I'm glad, Lord, that you're interested and you're concerned and all the rest of it, but not me. Okay, they're never going to believe me. I've made too many mistakes. I'm a failure. I don't speak very well, etc., etc." God says, "Moses, you're going to go." And for all of us this morning, I hope we all are concerned about others. Maybe we do, maybe we don't believe. I don't know everyone in this building today that there's a God in heaven who cares for the poor. But how are they going to hear that message this Christmas? They're not going to hear it if they've got to wait to come to church. We will share that message, but we can embody that message and take it out with all of our fears and all our reservations, just like Moses, and show this message to others. In what we call our Old Testament, the Old Testament that we call, well, was the Bible of Jesus, is split into three sections. The first section was called the law, the Torah, the instruction. And that's where God gave instructions to the people for how they should live their lives. Then there was a second section called the writings, and that were the wisdom books where God imparted wisdom to people for how they should live their lives and how they should treat others. Then the final section was the prophets, who came to remind people of a God's instructions and remind people of God's wisdom. But all of this was about the love of God. And not just the love of God in general, but the love of God for the poor. It was instruction about God's heart, instruction for how we treat the poor. It was wisdom for who God is and how we should live our lives, particularly among the poor. And the prophets came to remind the people, when they didn't do this, of what the consequences were. And so, what did God say in his law about the poor? Do not mistreat or oppress an alien, a foreigner, a visitor, a refugee, an asylum seeker, whatever word you want to put in that word. Do not mistreat or oppress this person among you, for you yourselves know how it feels to be aliens in Egypt. Just going to read these verses to us this morning. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. I will certainly hear their cry. Do not deny justice to the poor, the Lord says. And then he summarizes all of this in these wonderful words, love your neighbor as yourself. These statements that God makes in his law, in his Torah, are written in stone, literally, so that the people would remember how they should treat one another. Because God says, how you treat people will show what you think of me. If you do love me, God says, if you claim to love me, this is how you must treat the alien among you, the widow or an orphan, in other words, some of the most vulnerable people in your community and in your society, and how you bring justice to those who are poor. He then gives them a whole book called Leviticus to give them instructions in specific ways to do this. I'm going to read a couple of examples. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the remains of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. What is that saying to us today? We don't have fields necessarily. We don't have vineyards. Our possessions. It would be like God saying to us today, when you get your wages, when you get your paycheck, when you get your money, when you get your belongings, when you buy stuff for Christmas, don't just think about yourself. Don't just think about what you're going to use your paycheck for your mortgage, for your car, for your Sky TV, for your holiday next year, or for your holiday at Christmas, for the presents that you're going to buy for your wife or your husband or your children or your relatives or your auntie or your uncle or your pets. Don't just think about yourself with what you've got. Remember how much you do have, and don't keep reaping to the very edge of every single penny that you get and claim it for yourself. He says, recognize that all that you've got has been given to you as a gift to give to others. Think about others. Just last night, we went to the pantomime. It was a great time coming out. They were collecting for the sick children's hospital. And I put something in there. Encouraged others to do that. Most people walked past the guy. They had a great time. They enjoyed seeing Elaine C. Smith and Johnny Mack. They learned all about Aladdin. Most people that walked in front of me completely ignored the guy collecting for the sick children's hospital. So we enjoy ourselves, but we won't put 50p, pound, 10p to help kids and the sick children. My youngest son Cameron, that you know about, him and the Rangers boys were all taken to the sick children's hospital this week. And on Friday they went to mix with the children. Some of these children had cancer. Some of these children were all kinds of illness. They went, they sat with them, they spoke to them, they signed plasters, they give gifts to them. They laughed with them. They told them some stories about football. They spent time with them. Because if we think about ourselves, then we miss the whole point of this season. Don't just think about yourselves, God says. Leave for others, whether it's a vineyard, a harvest, or your paycheck. And then he goes on in even more detail. He says, if one of your people among you becomes poor and is unable to support themselves, help them as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so that they can continue to live among you. If one of your people among you becomes poor and sells themselves to you, don't make them work as your slave. They are to be treated as a hired worker or a temporary resident. People will fall into hard times, God says, for all kinds of reasons. People will struggle to make ends meet. And he says, if that happens, if one of your people becomes poor, and he's not just saying to the people of Israel, but he's talking about the people who come for refuge to their country. Because there were people who struggled with poverty who came to Israel. And this is a message that Israel needs to hear today as well. You're given the land. You're given so much. But you need to treat with respect the foreigner who lives in your land. Don't bulldoze his house. Don't bomb him. Don't cut him off and treat him as though he was a dog. But treat them with respect. And when you treat them with respect, then maybe they will actually treat you with respect. So we need to treat the poor living among us as though they were one of us. The people who can't support themselves, don't make them and treat them like your slaves, God says. So in the law, God laid it down very, very clearly how we were to treat the poor. And this was non-negotiable. In the books of wisdom, book of Proverbs, says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Here's this message again in a different way. If you downtrod, if you oppress, if you treat people that way, you're actually treating God that way. If you walk past the person in the street or the person collecting for sick kids, you're actually saying something about God, not just that sick children's hospital. But if we are kind to the needy, if we show kindness to the poor, we are honoring our God. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will cry out and not be answered. So God is saying, in your prayers, what you're asking me for, what you're asking me to give to you, maybe the reason we don't get answers to those prayers is because we walk past and ignore and don't think about the person who has so, so much less than we do. In the prophets, many times, we're going to come to this in a moment, God was saying, that's the reason why your crops are failing. That's the reason why you never seem to have enough money. That's the reason why your vineyards aren't producing good grapes, because you're not concerned about others. So let's go to the prophets. One of the prophets was a man called Amos, and Amos in particular speaks about this. He says about the people of the land, he says, they trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. So it's not just that they ignore the poor, but they're actually going further than that and down and trotting them down. He talks to a group of women, and he's not very obliging in what he says about these women. He calls them the cows of Bashan. Listen, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and then you say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. Hypocrisy of actually wanting others to serve us, but we're not prepared to concern for the poor. You levy a tax on the poor. You impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink from their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. You oppress the innocent, take bribes, and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. At the start of our service today, we thought about peace. And Andy and Aileen were reading and praying about peace in the world, peace in our nation, peace in the church, peace in our relationships. The Bible word for peace is this word, shalom. There are some people in our service this morning who can read what it says under the candle. You know what that means. But what has peace got to do with the poor? What does peace have to do with this message today? When the Bible talks about peace, and when Jesus came into our world to bring peace, it wasn't primarily to end wars, though that's what God wants to do. It wasn't just to make people stop arguing. It was way, way more than that. What was peace? The biblical word for peace means harmony. It means wholeness. It means completeness. So it has everything to do with poverty. Because people who are trapped in poverty don't experience this. They don't know what it is to feel complete. They don't feel whole. They feel broken. They feel that they're missing. They don't feel in harmony with others. I mentioned last week that we've set up a fund this season called our Fuel Fund in the church. Because what we're finding is that people are coming in to our food bank week after week, particularly this time of year, they can't heat their homes. And what we have been doing is sending them to another food bank that has fuel vouchers. But that's unfair because it's taking away from that food bank. So what we decide to do is we'll set up our own fund so that if Claire or myself or Jeanette or any of the leaders, if we hear of someone on a Thursday who comes to our food bank who can't heat their homes, we'll top up their electric key or their gas cards. We did it for a young man 2 weeks ago. This week, sure enough, two men came into our food bank and one of them hadn't had any heat in his house. People said to me, so what do these people do? They walk around their house with a blanket on because they can't heat their homes. They have no money left to put on the electric key. And then we give them food, and they're grateful for the food, but then they're thinking, how am I going to heat that pasta and cook it? How am I going to cook that meat, that tin of meat that they're giving me? What am I going to do with it? And so one man came, spoke to me, said, do you think you'd be able to help me? I said, absolutely, we can help you. I'll meet you today. Obviously, what we're not doing is just handing out money to these people. I'll meet you today at the local shop where you live and bring your gas key or your electric key, and I'll put some money on it for you. And then another man came in near the end of the time. It was on crutches, and same conversation. So any way we can help you? He says, I'm freezing. I'm cold. I've not had any heat for 5 days in my home. Could you help me? Absolutely. We can help you. I'll help you on behalf of my church. You don't see my church, but they care for you, and I'm here to show you that they care for you. So, of course, I'll meet you. So I met him up at the Kennisett Flats and put some money, and he gave me a big hug. They said, thank you. I'll tell my people that you've hugged them. Okay, so it's you. It's not me that's doing this for them, but this is what shalom means. It means that we do something practical for people who feel empty, who don't feel complete, who don't feel in harmony with their society. These people go to all kinds of places. I don't want to get political this morning, but they go to social service agencies, and many times they're not treated very well. They're given a ticket to stand in line. They're told to go to a computer, and they don't know how to use a computer. They're told to fill out forms so they can get their benefits reviewed, and they haven't got a computer to use. Oh, go to the local library. You can use a computer there. Yeah, for 15 minutes if you stand in line. So many of these people are crying out for social workers, and I know that our resources are stretched. They go time and time again, and they're told there's not enough funds. We don't have enough social workers. There's not enough people to meet your needs. And so they give up on the system. And they come to us. And as we've mentioned to you, probably every week now, we are touching about 25 to 30 people. That's just our little church, one day a week. And, you know, beyond that, hopefully we can we can help them. There's all kinds of things we can do for these people. And I know you can't all serve on a Thursday. I know most of you will never see these people who come to our food bank, and they're faceless people to you. I understand that. But you are helping us. Maybe you could volunteer your time. Maybe you could do something, because you don't all live in this community. Some of you stay in other communities and drive into our community every Sunday. Well, maybe you could find a food bank near you. Okay, maybe you could volunteer some time or give some food or say, do you guys need fuel vouchers? Do you do this scheme? Our church does it. We've set aside a few hundred pounds this winter. Could you do that? I'd love to help you do it. Okay, because there'll be people there who have the same struggles. Shalom means well-being. People who start to feel healthier, who start to get a little bit more prosperous, and who start to feel safe. That's what we want for our community. That's what we all enjoy. Most of us who are here today have a degree of health, a degree of prosperity, and feel safe. Most of us do, if we're honest. And it's taking those qualities and sharing them with others who don't feel it. And they have no money, their health has suffered, and they don't feel safe. There's some men who've been coming in recently, and they're terrified because one of their friends was murdered in Pollockshaws 4 weeks ago. Came out of a pub one evening, a few guys were waiting for him, and they stabbed him 16 times and they killed him. One of the guys saw it happen. He says, Don, I'm terrified. I go to that pub. Maybe they'll come after me next. How many of us are afraid of actually going out at night thinking we're going to be stabbed? These people are living in fear. There's a lot of fear in our community. And so when we bring peace to people, when we pray for peace, when we show this to shalom to people, this is what we're doing. And then finally, shalom simply means hello. That's all it means. You know, ultimately it means, hello, what's your name? Our friends from Iran who come here, you know this word, right? Salam, hello, greetings. Shalom means I welcome you. You're important to me. I'm concerned about you. Hello, what's your name? And so when we share peace this Christmas as the people of God, it might start by simply saying, hello, what's your name? How can I help you? What can I do for you? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we had that young girl, Lisa? I was so glad she came. I wasn't here that week. And Lisa, the girl who came to our food bank 2 years ago, 18-year-old girl, sleeping rough, no home, no food, no health, no safety, came to our food bank, got some food, got some heat, got some help. We went eventually, helped her to get a little home. She's got a flat up in Thornley Bank. And then Lisa says, I need to help others. I got it wrong. I've been telling people that Lisa has provided 200 sleeping bags to people. This young girl eventually went, found sleeping bags, and started giving sleeping bags out to the homeless. Kirsten reminded me, no, it wasn't 200, 500. This young girl, for the last 2 years, just because we helped her, has been going out to the streets of Glasgow, giving sleeping bags to people that she gets free from organizations that will give them to her. That's peace. That's spreading peace this season of Christmas. It's all possible because Jesus took these words and he said these words. These beautiful words from Isaiah, Jesus came, God in flesh, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I've come to bring good news to the poor. I've come to bring freedom for the prisoners. I've come to bring recovery of sight to the blind. I've come to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this week, I want you all to go and spread that message. I want you all to go this week and do one act of kindness and bring shalom and bring peace to people. And when you do, they might just see Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, you came into our world to bring our world hope and joy and love and peace. And so, Lord Jesus, help us this week as your followers, as we leave this place today, help us to carry your peace in our hearts, your shalom, your prosperity, your safety, your health, your well-being, your hello. Help us to carry that with us this week and to share that with other people, that the poor, those who are struggling in our society, Jesus, may have a little bit of peace this week and may taste your peace and know your peace this season. May they find your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.